Hi, this week we're continuing our investigation of the question, are moral values relative? Last week we noticed that 3 out of 4 Americans have been convinced that there is no absolute truth, that everything is relative. In other words, no one has a right to say something is definitely wrong for all people. People argue, well, it may be wrong for you personally to commit adultery, but don't say it's wrong for everyone. And others say, if 2 adults are consenting, it doesn't matter if they engage in extramarital sex or homosexual sex. And the list could go on and on. But you get the general idea here. Does anyone have the right to say something is definitely wrong? Does anyone have the right to say, for example, that homosexuality is wrong, or that premarital sex is wrong, or that extramarital sex is wrong? Does anyone have the right to say that divorce for trivial causes is wrong? The reason people argue that there are no definite rules of right or wrong is because of at least 2 reasons. First, they want to practice immoral living without feeling guilty about it. And second, they don't believe that there really is a living God who created them and before whom they will have to give an account one day in the day of judgment. In other words, when God is removed from the equation, then everything is relative. If there is no living God who created us in His image, like Genesis 1:27 says, then man really is just an animal. And this is why some people are living like animals. They've been convinced that's what they are. In Romans chapter 1, verses 22 through 24, the Bible says, professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Now, when people insist on living like animals, you see, God steps back and allows them to do so. God created men with free will. He wants men to serve Him because they choose to serve Him, not because they're robots who have no choice. Consequently, when men choose to live like animals, God allows it, but not without consequences. First, there are earthly consequences. When men and women choose to live like animals, there are consequences which must be faced here on earth during this lifetime. There are diseases which are contracted, and all the repentance that one may practice will not remove the disease that comes from immoral decisions. In Proverbs chapter 5, verse 3, the Bible says, the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps lay hold of hell. Verse 8 says, remove your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others, and your years to the cruel one, lest aliens be filled with your wealth, and your labor go to the house of a foreigner. And you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed, and say, how I have hated instruction, and how my heart despised correction. Listen, immoral living produces homes in which children don't even know who their father is. Homes without a loving mother and father. Homes where a woman alone has to struggle to even feed and clothe the children. Homes in which society has to decide to enact a welfare program to care for the children who entered into this world through immoral acts of men and women. Well, second, there are not only earthly consequences, temporary consequences, there are eternal consequences to immoral living. People living immorally think that they're getting away with it. They have falsely concluded that no one knows what they're doing, or they have falsely concluded that it really doesn't matter. Listen to this passage of Scripture. I'm reading Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9. The Bible says, rejoice, O man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. Again, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Now, people who believe everything is relative are willfully ignorant of the day of judgment that's coming one day upon all the world. Men and women are free to blaspheme, curse, drink, drug themselves, engage in any immorality that they choose to, but they will one day stand before their Creator and give an account for why they chose to dishonor Him and His laws. In summary, people who argue that truth is relative are people who do not want to feel guilty for their immoral choices, and they do not want to acknowledge the Creator who created them and sustains them daily. For these ungrateful people, everything is relative. Nothing is definitely right or wrong. But for those who acknowledge that there is a Creator, the outlook is radically different. For the believer, truth is determined by the Creator. God, by His very nature, is a God of order and truth. He sets the standards, and it's up to man to discover and respect those standards. We'll talk more about this subject next week as we continue to study the subject, Are Moral Values Relative? Thanks for listening to our message this week. We invite you to visit our website at www.willofthelord.com. That's willofthelord.com. There are no spaces between those words. Willofthelord.com. And there, at our website, you may download the notes and the audio file of the message you just listened to. We invite you to call again next week as we continue our subject of this topic, Are Moral Values Relative?